This is John Rappaport. Okay, this is a big one, folks. We're talking about the massive revolt that is brewing and percolating and exploding in China. And this is one of my free podcasts. Anybody can listen to it. And so I make a pitch. Subscribe to my Substack page. Miles and tons of original information and actual writing in the form of podcasts and many, many, many articles. And I dare say and go out on a limb to say that some of this information, just as pure information that you'll be getting as a subscriber, you can't get anywhere else. And definitely the way you're getting it from me, you can't get anywhere else. Because writing is something. It's a thing. It exists. It's existed for a long time. I've been doing it for a long time, 67 years. I know what it is. That's what I do. It's not the same thing as content provider. It's not the same thing as here are data. Yes, I do that too. I know all about that. But I'm a writer. That's something entirely different. Writers may be a dying species. I don't know. But I practice the art form every day, and you will find all my work at Substack. So jump in, subscribe. It's $60 a year, which means $6 a month only, and you get 2 free months. $60 is roughly the price, if you're lucky, of 1 tank of Biden gas in your car. Okay. That's my pitch. So let's start off with the little stuff here. The NBA, the National Basketball Association. You remember the brouhaha several years ago when the general manager of one of the teams posted a tweet about the protests in Hong Kong, and he was pounced on and pounded on by NBA players and owners and the league because, my God, he was upsetting the delicate balance of money, honey, and commerce and dollars flowing between China and America, between China and the NBA, between companies with manufacturing facilities in China like Nike and Apple and the NBA. Oh, the horror. Oh, the humanity. We must shut up about that. So it's no surprise that we're not getting any gigantic show of support from the NBA now for the people of China who are revolting against brutal imprisonment lockdowns in their homes for months and months called, euphemistically, COVID restrictions. No surprise that we're hearing nothing from the NBA and many other corporations hearing nothing, and nothing of substance, of course, from the White House, except somebody, I think it was from the National Security Council the other day, who said, well, when asked about the massive revolt in China, what does the White House have to say about this? Well, all I can say is that generally speaking, we support protests when they're peaceful and carried out anywhere in the world, and that's all I really have to say about it. To call that lukewarm would be a vast understatement. Vast understatement. This is a very dangerous moment for the White House, for other governments around the world. Tyrannical top-down governments and big-time money foundations, elite foundations, and elite globalists and technocrats, because all this time they've been glorifying and supporting China and the model, as they call it, of Chinese society, which they think is just absolutely marvy, absolutely marvy. And I'm calling up an article here. Got many notes here. Let's see if I can find these. I'm surrounded by notes because the story keeps breaking and re-breaking. And so I'm looking for some quotes here. Fauci, oh yes, Fauci said the other day, if the purpose of meaning of the China lockdowns is let's get all the people vaccinated, particularly the elderly, then okay. Oh, really? In other words, imprison all the people in China, then force them to take a devastatingly destructive shot, which you're calling a vaccine. It's good policy, nothing to object to, certainly nothing to protest about. Or how about Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, a gigantic globalist operation? Quote, the Chinese, meaning economic and political model, is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries. Sure, lockdown, brutal imprisonment, fantastic, Klaus. And then, of course, we have the pipsqueak of Canada, Trudeau, saying, there's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Their basic dictatorship is actually allowing them to turn their economy around on a dime. These are actual quotes, folks, from elite globalists, get it, who have been supporting China, Bill Gates, also lots of other major globalists who've been telling us, the World Health Organization, of course, that China's brutal lockdown policy immediately in 2020 was now the model for the West. This is how we handle the fake pandemic called COVID. And now, right now, they're faced with this massive outbreak of the Chinese people saying, no, no. The model, as you call it, of Chinese society is tyranny. It's imprisonment. It's a vast wall-to-wall surveillance state. That's what we've got in China. That's what's happening in China. And we are protesting against it out on the streets. And by the way, when you do that in China, you're risking your life and limb. Literally. They can take you away, they can torture you, and they can kill you. And still, here we are out on the streets. So this should tell you something about what's really going on in China, you see? So this has created a degree of terrifying panic among globalist elitists who are suddenly having to face the music if this story of the gigantic revolt in China gets out and is portrayed as it actually is, as I've just described it. Very straightforward. So the story has to be reframed. It has to be recast. It has to be censored. It has to be cut short. Lots of things have to be done to it by major media in order for it to be harmless, shall we call it, in order for it to be harmless. That's what has to happen. And I call that Operation Box Out, which is a term that I would use for the compartmentalization of a story. You reframe it to exclude damaging implications. And disinformation professionals know how to do this in their sleep, I assure you. And in a piece that I have written, I give you a number of ways that the story can and will be and is being reframed, recast, to fit a much more comfortable fantasy of what reality is, but actually isn't. Number one, The China Revolt is happening over there, far away. It has nothing to do with us. Two, China took a good and necessary policy, COVID lockdowns, and, you see, went too far, sparking a revolt. We here in the West would never go that far, and we never did. China is an outlier. They made an error of judgment. You see, lockdowns are old technology. If the government insisted in China that their citizens get the new RNA shots, they could end the lockdowns. I'll have more to say about that later. Three, bad actors, we're not sure which ones yet, interfered in China's official policy and created the revolt to defame the Chinese regime. You always hear that one. Four, what China does is their business. They have their own cultural norms. We may not agree with them, but we have no right to intercede. Five, the current revolts in China are part of their tradition, which goes back to 1989 and the Tiananmen Square protests. This is unique Chinese history, and the current revolts can only be understood in that context. Certainly not in the context of brutal lockdowns, imprisonment, and surveillance state. Six, although we may want to accuse the Chinese government of crimes, we have to exercise caution and good sense because we have many agreements with the regime which must remain stable. Seven, there are so many conflicting and unreliable accounts, we don't know and will never really know what's actually happening now in China. And eight, the current revolts in China are far less serious than they appear. They're confined to a small number of students. Enemies of China are exaggerating the story, you see. Okay? That's Operation Box Out, which also includes just fading out the story as days and weeks pass and hoping it all kind of goes away. Now, a box out also includes, and this is very important, that which we must never say in media coverage, which would be, get this, there are disturbing similarities between the economic effects of the China lockdowns and lockdowns in Western nations. Never say that. In fact, avoid all references to horrendous effects of lockdowns in the West. Got it? You see, because by implication, if this story is covered correctly, it's going to ultimately lead to a comparison of the effects of the massive and brutal widespread China lockdowns and the lockdowns in Western countries, including the U.S., which, of course, had ruinous and highly destructive lasting economic effects, in case you didn't notice, and those effects are with us to this day. But the press has always refrained from covering those effects all during the last 2 years, never really highlighted them, never really gave them their full due, never really portrayed the massive destruction caused by Fauci, who, by the way, took over the presidency of the United States, which was handed to him by Donald Trump, the actual sitting president. Yes, something that Trump will never admit. And Fauci proceeded to destroy the U.S. economy with lockdowns, heading up the entire campaign based on complete fraudulent science and fraudulent data, as I've described in over 300 articles, to give us our lockdowns, our economic destruction. Businesses closed, bankruptcies, suicides, broken families, poverty, you name it. And as a sidebar, but very important, let me say this. Of all the ways that major media have found to attack Trump, for doing this, for not doing that, for all sorts of reasons, the one reason that they have omitted, which would be stark and penetrating and highly effective, would be to say what I just said, that Trump basically stepped aside and gave his presidency to Anthony Fauci, and that led to the lockdowns and the ruinous destruction of the U.S. economy. And, of course, the media never made that accusation, because to make it would be to admit out in the open how destructive the lockdowns have been in the West, just as they've been in China. And since Trump has never admitted his key role in economic destruction in America, there is, in a sense, a real sense, a kind of conspiracy of silence on that very point between Trump and major media. Neither one of them speaks of this. Neither one of them highlights the economic destruction caused by the lockdowns. That's tragic. So, as these protests get bigger and bigger and spread further and further, as expressions of rejection of the entire China model, not just of the lockdowns, but of the vast wall-to-wall surveillance state that it is building, of the extreme dictatorship at the top, it is the media's job to reframe and recast that story. And in the most recent article that I've written here, we'll see if I can pull it up. Looking here. Okay. Let's try this one. How the media are handling this. Because that's very important to get the sort of lingo of the media. I'm not seeing the quotes there. Let's try one more. What do we have here? Got about three or four up here. I'll just tell you what the New York Times and the Washington Post are basically saying is, you see, lockdowns are old-fashioned technology. They're casting the China lockdowns as actual technology, medical technology, and they're saying it's old-fashioned. And they're pointing out that China has resisted bringing in the RNA vaccines of Pfizer and Moderna. We don't want those, China is saying. And then the Times and the Washington Post, by implication, are saying, this is the new technology, see, these wonderful RNA shots. And if China had brought them on board, they could have ended the lockdowns earlier and dispensed with the old medical technology and brought in the new cutting edge, which we in the West, especially in the U.S., have pioneered, which is working out wonderfully. Yes, of course. I've spent untold numbers of hours in podcasts and articles documenting, pointing out with evidence the highly destructive nature of the RNA shots. Massive numbers of injuries and deaths all over the world. But of course, this is the shiny, bright, new medical technology that major media are telling you is completely safe and completely effective. And if China had only brought it in, then they could have dispensed with the old technology of their lockdowns. All right, so casting the story in that way, what does that achieve? How does that let the elite globalists off the hook now when they're trembling in their shorts because their praise of the China model is, you know, being shredded with the protests of the Chinese people? Here's how it works. The major media coverage is deflecting those protests and riots in China and recasting them as simply an issue of medical technology, nothing else. We don't have to really look at what China has been doing to their citizens, the fact that they've locked them up in their homes, the fact that, as being reported, a fire in one Chinese city killed a number of people recently because those people couldn't get out and firefighters couldn't get in because of the lockdowns. We don't have to talk about any of that. We don't have to talk about the sheer imprisonment and brutality of the China model and the China regime, and thereby, by inference, need to talk about the ruinous effects of lockdowns in America and the West, and by inference, we indict the global elitists like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and Fauci and others, Trudeau, who have been hailing and praising and adoring the China model. We can avoid all that, you see, by just simply treating this as a kind of medical story. That's what it really is, you see. China made a mistake, that's all. Whoops, just a little mistake. Because of some kind of, we don't know, predisposition, cultural preoccupation, aversion to cutting-edge Western technology, we're not sure. They haven't wanted to let these marvelous RNA shots into their country, and therefore they've been saddled with their only alternative. The much less effective Chinese vaccines and the old technology of lockdowns. And that's the story. And you can go back to sleep now, everybody. There's nothing else to see here. That's all there is to it, period. And the educated classes, of course, who read the New York Times are thrilled. They now understand really what's going on in China. Oh, yes, now I see. It's a medical mistake. That's all I have to know. This is called stage magic. That's what it is. How to change one story into another. How to turn something that would have horrific consequences into something that hopefully has no consequences. That's what you do. When you're the CIA press, that's what you do. That's how it works. I know how it works. I've been looking at it for a long time. I write stories with actual evidence in them. I can recognize fake evidence when I see it. I know how these stories are put together. I know how the major slant of the headline, the subheadline, the lead paragraph are designed to deflect people from the main event time and time and time and time again. That's what reporters are hired to do. And they do it well because they understand their paycheck depends on it, and so does their career. And after a while, they need no instructions or orders coming down. They're bright enough to figure out what their bosses want, what the agenda is, and as it turns out, wonderfully for major media, as time goes on and woke academia grabs the control of colleges and universities tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, they turn out budding journalists who already know what to do and never need instructions of any kind. And when these people are hired as rookie reporters for the Times, the Post, wherever, they're already educated, they're already conditioned and trained, they're idealistic, and they follow the agenda. Poof, magic, stage trick, it all works out fine for them. So, got to reframe the story. Again, the real danger is people thinking, well, what have they really done in China? See, they locked people up. We did that too. They really put a gigantic hole in the economy. We did that too. They try to force people, or they do force people to take the vaccine. We tried that too. There's a lot of similarities here, really. And in fact, now that I think of it, there were major, major street protests with huge numbers of people in Europe against COVID restrictions last year. That's right. And they were protesting pretty much the same thing that people in China are protesting now. Only in China, it's even worse, but it's the same kind of thing, actually. I mean, how wasn't Australia almost as bad and New Zealand almost as bad as China? Well, let me think about that, you know? You see, this must never happen, according to the Ministry of Truth, major media, and the White House, and governments, Western governments, and other governments all over the world. That these connections must never be made. That's the game. So, as I read down the list of eight, and there are more ways of reframing, recasting the story, diminishing it, making it uninteresting, turning it into a he said, et cetera, et cetera. That's all standard operating procedure. That's operation box out. Eliminate, compartmentalize, focus the attention of the reader and the viewer on what we want him, her to focus on, period. That's all we want to do here. And at the same time, of course, we have to cover the protests in China because it's big news. So we do that because we can't just remain completely silent about that. That would be too obvious. But we can handle that with the over there, not here distinction. As long as we have that buttress and that wall and that bulwark separating over there from here, we're good. We can handle that. It's okay. That is the root and the core of the whole thing. We can entertain, in fact, the viewer and the reader. We can make this into popcorn and adrenaline to a certain degree, which is what the news is all about. As long as we keep that wall built and that distinction between over there and here. Look at what's happening in China. Woo, 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 woo. Lots of woo, lots of woo. Photos, etc. Even interviews with anonymous Chinese citizens, etc. See? We can handle that. We can make it work. It's okay. as long as we don't juxtapose that against, say, some American businessman who was driven to attempt suicide because his business was put in the shitter by the lockdowns in America, and show that his statement kind of mirrors the statement of the anonymous Chinese street protester in Shanghai and Beijing. That is never going to happen. See, that must never happen. And yet, and here's where imagination comes into assessing journalism, and I highly recommend it, and have on thousands of occasions. What would the instincts of a unmessed with, unscrewed with reporter, mainstream reporter who has not been conditioned, what would those instincts be in an alternative world at the New York Times? Well, I can tell you, they would be to do exactly what I just said, because he would sit at his desk and say, you know what, this would be interesting, because I know the extent of the economic destruction in America was gigantic during Trump and during Biden. Suppose I juxtapose an interview with a U.S. businessman who was driven close to suicide or attempted suicide, family broke up, went into poverty, bankruptcy, an entrepreneur whose business was locked down and went, you know, with a statement from a street protester in China. That would make a hell of a story. Now that's real human interest. And I'm telling you that if such a reporter existed at the Times in this alternative world, and he had an editor who was sympathetic, another alternative world factor, you would see a story like that in the New York Times. And then the Ivy League educated readers would get a jolt when they read that story. Sweetheart, look at this story I'm just reading in the Times. This is incredible, because I never realized the extent of the economic wreckage in America during our lockdowns and how similar to that in China. And that of you, hey, whoa, hey, whoa, hey. And not just one story, but a number of parallels being drawn between the economic wreckage in the West caused by our lockdowns and brutality, but the comparison and the similarity to China now, and the surveillance state in China, and our government attempts and foundation attempts and corporate going along with this to censor so-called misinformation about COVID and about lockdowns, and about how they didn't work, and, you know, on and on and on. Wow. And I bring that up because people don't engage in that kind of imagination, and they should, to understand the depth of the mind control and the conditioning which has been successfully applied to mainstream news and the people who work for mainstream news. Because that alternative universe that I just alluded to, of course, does not exist, but could and would if nobody fucked with the minds of bright young Americans and Europeans who became journalists in the mainstream. Who's telling you that? Who's saying these things that I'm saying here in this podcast? Who's showing you the CIA-type operation that's underway, Operation Box Out? How the story is being reframed and recast, and why, and who this actual story of what's going on in China is rightfully making very nervous right now, and why you're not hearing definitive statements from major corporations and the White House and sports leagues and celebrity figures of great wealth and repute saying directly and starkly, support the people of China now. They are opting for freedom, the same freedom that we have been guaranteed here and we are also fighting for. That kind of statement will get you completely fired and censored at a major corporation if you happen to work for one, or a government agency, or a medical association, or any number of places in America. Does that sound like a surveillance state here to you? Because it should. Because it is. And the only thing keeping millions and millions of people from realizing that is the way the news is actually covered by the mainstream in this real world in which we happen to, unfortunately, be living. This is the way it's done, folks. This is how it works. Operation Box Out. And so Fauci can just stand up there and say, well, the lockdowns in China are quite okay if the objective is to vaccinate people. In other words, he's saying, you see, by force, you imprison them so that you can force them to get vaccinated. That's what the man is actually saying. But no mainstream news outlet is correctly parsing his words and showing you the implications and the predatory nature of the man. And if you are unable to still be astonished by the depths of these criminals, you're in trouble, because you need to be astonished every fucking day. And you need to do something. You need to let your voice be heard. You can't say, well, I'm getting my picture of reality from the news, and therefore, I know that things aren't really all that bad, so I don't need to do anything. That way is disaster. That way is disaster. I mean, there's Klaus Schwab sitting there, wherever he is, in Davos or Brussels or wherever he's jetting to. And he's looking at the revolt in China and he's thinking, Jesus, you know, this is the model that I've been praising over and over and over again. And look what's breaking now in China. The people of China are telling the world what's really going on. They're destroying the picture of the model that I've been painting in order to promote the Great Reset, which is the technocratic rule of the few over the many. What am I going to do? I think I need to take a vacation. I think I need to disappear for a few weeks, and hopefully the story will be handled the way it should be, and it'll die down and fade out, or it'll be recast successfully so that nobody's really alarmed and pointing fingers at me, and I'll be okay. Fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. just the way it should be, you see? Just the way it should be. These globalists are, in fact, being exposed right now. Completely and utterly exposed. Trudeau, Schwab, Bill Gates, Fauci, Biden, and many, many, many more. That is the reality. And the cowardice of so many organizations and corporations and companies and groups, the extreme cowardice which keeps them from speaking out now and saying, we support the people of China in their revolt against the regime. There should be a regime change in China, just as some of the protesters are saying. And by the way, it's being called the blank paper protests in some stories. Why? Because many protesters are out there on the streets holding up blank pieces of paper. And what do those blank pieces of paper represent? They represent surveillance and censorship. They're saying, if we actually held up pieces of paper that contained the truth about Chinese society and what's being done to us, and the model of brutal imprisonment for months and months and months in our homes, and the economic destruction that has been laid upon us, imprisonment, if we held up that information, then surely we would be taken away in vans and tortured and killed. So we hold up blank pieces of paper. Now, go ahead and do a search and find the mainstream news article that uncompromisingly explains the blank paper, just as I've explained it in the last minute, with no holds barred, the truth, instead of just saying, they're holding up blank pieces of paper in their protest. It's called the blank paper protests. Or if there is some implication in these mainstream news articles that faintly resembles what I just said, you'll notice the language is neutral. The language is washed out. The language is bureaucratic. The language is government speak. The language is flaccid. And that's what I referred to at the beginning here in my pitch for you to subscribe to my Substack when I said, there's a difference between information and providing content and writing. Writing moves the blood. Writing moves the nervous system. Writing moves the brain and the mind and the consciousness and the morality and the ethics and the principles and the soul. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's always done in all of its forms. And that's why I never tire of speaking about it, writing, because I want it to persist. I want it to continue to bloom. I want new writers to be born and to throw off all of the tech speak and information speak and data set speak and algorithm speak, the way of expression. I want them to offload all of that shit and become the writers that somewhere inside of them they truly want to be. Because then the truth is delivered. And the delivery vehicle can move people, can wake up people, can even alert people that they have been put to sleep by a fake version of language, because language is powerful one way or t'other. And I have tons of background and experience in writing simply because at the age of 17, 67 years ago, I decided to become one. And that was based on reading real writers who moved me, who woke up my imagination to not only the truth, but worlds within worlds and worlds beyond worlds, and started my blood moving in a new direction, and my body processes moving in a new direction, and my desire moving in a new direction to become one of those, to become a writer. And I know something about the various establishments, let's call them, of writing that exist in the world, and how they tend to try to tailor the work of the writer to fit certain formulae and preconceived structures and rhythms even, and ways of presentation, and how they tend to want to rule out other ways of presentation, original ways. Ways that speak of the originality and the individuality of that particular writer. And so, going out even further on what I've been saying here, the media presentation of the China story now will, as with all other media stories, be sanitized and neutralized in the very essence of how the language comes out on the page or from the television news anchor. And in that sanitizing method, in that neutral method, which is a mimicry and an imitation of objectivity, not the real thing, but a con, the public is preyed upon, worked upon, to remain distant from what is actually going on, to have a comfortable distance, to not be jolted, to not feel the electricity that is there that can be expressed in writing. And listening to this, you might say, well, I mean, this, he's now talking about something culture-wide. I mean, it's been happening, as he describes it, for decades. Absolutely right. I'm not saying this is a little provincial thing. This bleeds into everything. It's why I talk about it and I write about it. It's why I write about writing. Because I could cook up an article that describes Everything I've been talking about in this podcast, I could reveal it all. And yet I could write it in a way that sounds like mainstream news has the terms, the punctuation, the rhythms, the paragraph structure, and the result would be that when people read it, even though they were exposed to everything I've been talking about here, the effect would be minimal. They, the readers, would still be able to maintain their comfortable distance from the events and the meaning, the real meaning of those events, even though I had exposed completely what this operation Box Out is all about, what the elite globalists are all about, how, what the connection is between elite globalism praising the China model and the revolts in China, the refusal of the press to cover the economic destruction that was real and still exists as a result of the Western nations' lockdowns that are very similar to the Chinese lockdowns. I could give you all of that, but I could write it in such a way that it would have no effect whatsoever on you. That's how significant all of this cultural degradation has become. That's how significant it all is. And that's why I'm on Substack writing about culture every day in the way that I'm writing about it. Because one of the objectives, just one, of the current prevailing culture is to sanitize and anesthetize the audience so that no matter what is presented to them as fact, as evidence, as truth, the reaction is minimal or non-existent. That's a skill. It's been honed. It's been developed. It pretends to be news. And people accept that version, that stage presentation, if you will, of news as news and reality. Okay, so for the moment, I believe I've covered the waterfront here. The China Revolt is one of the most significant events of our time, if it continues to spread. And it will become even more significant if what I've laid out for you here becomes widely understood and known and recognized in a way that provokes the blood moving again, for real, life moving again, as opposed to the neutral language of death. Much more I could say about writing, and I'm tempted to go on for quite some time here, I have to tell you. But I think you get at least a piece of the action here, what I'm talking about. I'm very committed to it. It came as a shock to me when I realized the full impact and import of it. And how, and the depth at which the conveyance of information called news had been corrupted, not only in content, but in method and style and rhythm and pace and language. Read it for yourself. Get the gist of it. Hopefully, you know of a writer that you've read all your life, that you know is alive and crackling with electricity, and that passion and art moves you greatly. And you can compare that with what you see and perceive when you read an article in the New York Times. You can go back and forth from one writer to the other. And you can come awake at a new level and realize the depth of the deception. How deep it really, really goes. This is John Rappaport. Thank you very much. Talk to you next time.